Praise God once again. Greetings to you all of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless His word. Father, we thank you for this wonderful moment which you have given to us. Come together to your holy feet this evening once again. Lord, as we bow down before your holy presence, we ask you, Holy Father, to minister unto us in revealing the truth and leading us to Father, the fulfillment of your divine purpose in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I was sharing something about prayer, and I thank the Lord the way the Lord revealed things to us. Even some of the things which I couldn't think of, the Lord revealed to me while I was sharing. The important thing is, we all know that God answers prayer. But does really God answers all prayer? If I ask you that question, does God answer all prayer? Does He answer? Does God answer all prayers? Every prayer that people making, does God answer? I think it's interesting to identify that. Okay, I'll give you an example. I'll give you a good example, then you tell me. There are two Christian mothers. They are both having two young boys like this, playing for the football team, the most important football team, and they are both playing for the finals. And if the finals is won, they are recognized. So the one mother is praying, Lord, let my son's team win. Let my son play the goal so that he get the recognition. So the other mother also says, Lord, let my son's team win. Let my son play the goal. Whose prayer God is going to answer? Have you ever thought about it? Both mothers are Christians. Both mothers are really godly. Both mothers are making a request to God. Both mothers trust God. And both mothers are saying, Lord, let my son win. So one has to win, one has to lose. So whose prayer God is going to ask? Is going to ask God answer that prayer? Okay, let's take this scenario. Both mothers are Christians. Both mothers know about God. And one mother says, Lord, thank you for giving opportunity to my son to play. Let my son learn to win or lose, take that in the spirit, and if he wins, give him the humility to accept that. And if he loses, let him have the courage to take the defeat. And the other mother also prays like that. Does God answer that prayer? Yes, God answers that. It's easy to answer that prayer than easy to answer the earlier prayer. You know? I think that's why sometimes we put God into difficulty. Another scenario. I was sharing this morning, I'm just telling you so that we will do a study later. You know, there is a particular place in the city, there are only 3 parking spots. And if you want to get, you have to go early. Otherwise it will be taken up. And you get late, and on the way you say, God, let me have a parking space. Will God keep that parking space for you? Or will God remove that car for you to go in there? I think there is a lot of confusion on prayer. A lot of confusion. Does God heal all sickness? Now that's where we have to really understand things. What is prayer? What really is prayer? You know? Of course, talking to God. To a lot of people, prayer is like the post office. Prayer is like post office or post box. You know what happens in the post box? You put everything there. You know? The post box receives everything there. But does the post box give letters back? You know? You know, you go and put letters inside this. And you wait for a long time for a reply. Can this post box give you? And I think the problem is a lot of people treat God like a post box. Thinking that He answers. And also God, a lot of people think God is only there to hear it. But the prayer really is something totally different. And I think I was, as the Lord was sharing this morning, in fact some of the things which I have never thought, the Lord was enlightening me. I think it is important, brothers and sisters, to understand. You see, and such a simple thing the Lord taught us today. You see, Jesus says, greater things than this shall ye do, because I go unto the Father. What are the greater things Jesus did? Did you ever thought about it? Greater things than this that ye do, because I go unto the Father. So what is the greater thing Jesus did? Of course, a lot of people say He healed the blind, He raised the dead, He fed the things. My goodness, I mean, that's, you know, there are many miracle workers even before Jesus' time. I mean, some of them did all those miracles. You see? A miracle is not a great thing. Of course, it's a big thing. But Jesus said, greater things than this shall you do, because I go unto the Father. So what is really the greater thing Jesus did? Is it only healing people? Is it only raising dead? No. What did Jesus said every time He healed people? Something very important, He said. And when He went to the cross, and what did He say? Father, forgive them. They do not know what they did. And every time Jesus healed a person, He says, God forgives. So what happens is, the greater things related to forgiveness. Do you know that? So the greater things that Jesus did is relating to the forgiveness that He bestowed upon people. So that's why the scriptures will be properly understood. Otherwise, there will also be a lot of misconception and of misleading people. When Jesus said, greater things than this shall He do, He look at Himself, the one who came to forgive people. Forgiveness is something greater than anything that could have been done at that time. You and I can't forgive people, but Jesus went through the greatest pain that any human being could go through, and yet was able from the cross and says, Father, forgive them. And that's why every miracle when He performed, He concluded that saying, daughter, son, your sins are forgiven. So the greater thing that Jesus did is relating to the forgiveness. So brothers and sisters, That's what we need to understand with regard to prayer also. But today my subject is not that. And I was so taken up this morning. I want to talk about prayer. But as I was sharing, the Lord opened my understanding. Some beautiful things which I shared. Probably next sometime later I will share some of those truths. As I said, you know, so many people are praying to God. So many people are asking various things. And some things look very silly. And if God were to fulfill all the prayers people are making all over from corner to corner, I mean this person, this particularly, leave alone the Buddhists and Hindus and all the others, if you take all these Pentecostal evangelical people, their prayers, if God is going to answer all those prayers, I'm sure this world will be a chaotic place. Definitely. Because they are asking all chaotic things. Therefore, we as true children of God need to understand what we can ask from the Lord and how He is willing to give. You know? So therefore God is not an answering machine. So having said that, brothers and sisters, I want to bring this thought today on this new subject, the new world order. And I think we are living in a time where we need to have a clear understanding of the environment that we are around. So that's what the Lord prompted me to just to have this thought. The study commence. It's a long study. So many things the Lord will give it to us as we go on. Is the world a better place now? This question. Is the world a better place now than it was maybe a couple of years or maybe yesterday? A question that we need to ask. The global leaders, business and political, are today spending hours giving speeches. So many people are giving good speeches. You know, you find, you know, never in the history that you find so many forums, so many conferences, so many discussions are taking place in the world. Never in the time like this. You open magazines, global forum, global conference, discussing people, you know. People are talking. Unbelievable. The number of conferences that world is having. I was just Wednesday to Saturday, I was in Singapore for another, you know, conference really. A meeting for a day. And I could see these hotels are packed with people, with conferences. They are giving speeches, one after one. And these speeches are creating a world better place. There are many topics they discuss. Many areas of subject, including the elevation of poverty, making a world a better place to live. And I think in the same time we see everybody, young and old, are heavily involved in a rat race for success in different level. And I think the success is something people are looking for. And also we see a world fighting among individuals, peoples and nations. Races are intensifying to a level dog-eat-dog status. The world over, regardless of race or what language, millions of people are heading for doomsday and don't know it. Do you know that? millions of people are heading for doomsday without really, they don't know it. They talk all the time. The so-called globalization has not done any good. All the countries at large. The gap between the rich and the poor has widened in unimaginable levels globally. It has increasing. The conflict among the ethnic groups, races, nationalities and countries are ever increasing. You could see. Many countries want to separate themselves and separate identities. The world religions are becoming more orthodox. Religious fanaticism increased to the extent one would not hesitate to kill one another opposing religious views. It is happening even in our small country in a different manner. The climate change, the major impact on every living being. The climate change that is taking place has an impact on every living being, not only human, even the animals. So that means we see this world is getting bad by the day. Ever-rising energy costs due to the manipulative initiatives of various global power blocks. You know, these oil prices that are going up, not only to the consumption increase, but also the manipulative work of certain global power blocks, the ever-increasing the oil price. The confusion and uncertainty in the global financial markets creating downturn economies in many countries. You see, there's so much of confusion, even the financial wizards cannot predict what is going to happen next day. There are people with PhDs. There are people who have studied in Harvard, in Yale, in many London School of Economics, cannot predict, give prediction, but part of the confusion that are taking place. Increasing epidemics, the viruses, plagues, not only affecting humans, but also animals in greater scale. Epidemics, viruses and plagues, not only affecting humans, but also animals, mad cow, bird flu, this, that and the other thing, which is affecting not only humans, even the animals, so many new viruses spreading. Decaying moral values. Decaying moral values, respect for law and order is threatened. In many countries, should be many countries. I know the moral value is decaying. Even a country like Singapore now facing major moral issues. And also, a country that they are trying to project as a safe place has becoming unsafe. So much so, when I was there, on the day I arrived there, they had the most dangerous Islamic terrorists who was in a detention that morning escape. You know, Singapore is very, very, very security oriented and also very tough. But that early morning, the most wanted man who was in their custody escaped. And to this moment they have not found him. And he escaped from where? From underground ground detention. You can imagine the amount of corruption that is there in that country. How it is possible from underground somebody who is most wanted leave. The unprecedented increase in divorces worldwide, further undermining the values and the traditions. That's, we see that global issue. A very materialistic society hell-bent on material gain and success at any cost. You know, brothers and sisters, people are working for success at any cost. Even the global business organizations only working for profit and profit at any cost. Now this is very true. Today a lot of global leaders are talking about the climate change, the global warming and the climate change, and trying to come up with some issues, how to revoke this issue. They have forums, discussions and various things. But who is responsible for that? They are responsible. How? If you go back to the Bible, in the first few books, God says how to look after the land. You must give a rest to the land. In the seventh day, He said not to do anything. You must give the rest to the land. What happens? The global business people, they work on Saturday, Sunday, 24 hours a day. 24 hours? I know so many companies working for 24 hours. The factories are open for 24 hours. People are working overtime 24 hours. What happens? 24 hours, the energy consumption. You know, the energy with the petroleum, with the electricity, it is consumed for 24 hours. Who is responsible? They want to make more profit, more profit. The other day I told our management, you see, they work on certain key performance indicator. You know, working on certain ratios to get the return on capital. And they say we want to maximize the profit. Maximize the profit. And our people are saying, look, let us not increase the headcount. You know? Let us not increase the headcount and let the people work overtime and produce. And I told them, look, as a leading company in this country, we have to be very conscious of the society. And I said, if we are expanding, if we are growing, I said, we need to increase the headcount. If a bank like us don't give people employment, who else is going to give employment? And that's what a lot of organizations, what do they call? Downsizing. You know? Restructure and downsize. Retrench people, retrench. Why? They want that maximize the profit. Success at any cost in this society. Material gained at any cost. They are hell-bent on it. And we also find the political leaders are promising their countrymen a rosy future, but lying and making money through corruption. Most of the leaders in this country, political or business, they are lying. They are promising their countrymen a rosy future. And also business leaders are also like that. They are promising their employees something, and that's not they are not delivered. In the meantime, they are exalting themselves. So therefore, brothers and sisters, we know that the world is not getting better, it's becoming bad. And in that context, let's understand what the scripture says. We are going to understand this important thing, this truth which we need to understand. Going back to Matthew chapter 24, what Jesus said here, and He sat upon the Mount Olives, and disciples came to Him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Brothers and sisters, today we are going to study this chapter and understand some significant things what Jesus said. Matthew 24 verse 4 says, Jesus said unto them, take heed that no man deceives you. Remember the question they asked you. The disciples asked Jesus, when is the world is going to end? or what is the sign of your coming? And the first thing Jesus said was, take heed that no man deceive you. So what happens today, particularly this time we are living in, there is deception at the highest level. The deception is at highest level today, not only in the business, political, but also in the religious. There are a lot of deceivers, and also religious deceivers are there today. Every religious, they are mainly deceivers. They are trying to deceive people with false good. They are trying to deceive people with philosophy, with black magic, with white magic, with various sensations, various things. You open the papers, you find these people advertising themselves, these deceivers advertising themselves. Verse 25, he says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. You see, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. So he talks about many people that are going to come in the closing of the end time, saying that I am Christ, and they are going to deceive many. Now this is what Jesus said. He says there are many people who are going to come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Remember, brothers, Jesus said this. And verse 26 to 28, verse 26, 24, 26, 24, 6 to 8. And ye shall hear the words and the rumors of war. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For the nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence, and the end is not yet. If you look back to the history of this last 2000 years, when the time of Jesus, we have the Roman Empire ruling, and it ruled for till about 500 years in this present age. And the Roman Empire disintegrated into various factions, and many other countries in Europe, and there are other countries in Asia, and you find a lot of global empires that result in that time. But there were a lot of conflicts that was there at that time. But when it comes to in this last 100 years, brothers and sisters, in the last 100 years, that we have seen the unprecedented number of wars that are fought in this world than before. There are many battles in the history of last 2000 years. But when you take the last 100 years, in the last 100 years we have 2 world wars. Yes. One in first in 1914, between that period. And then the second one is in 1938-40s. So ever since that time, you find a nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And Jesus said, when these things are happening, this is the beginning of sorrows. The beginning of sorrows. He said very clearly, this is the beginning of sorrows. And that's what we have seen in the last 100 years. The last 100 years, there are bitter wars fought between countries. including the two world wars. So that refers to the period that you and I are living in, this last 100 years. And then let's see from Matthew 24:9-13. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended, and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. Because of the iniquity bound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. Now this portion of scripture is not referred to this time we are living. It refers to the first age and the second age, the period between AD 60 to AD 400. What happened? Jesus said about the Jewish disciples, his disciples were all Jewish, and he told all the Jewish disciples, and they would be afflicted and shall receive persecution. And that is the time, brothers and sisters, the first age apostles took the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to other parts of the world. And all those places, the other nations where the gospel went to, had strong religions. And those religions were in bondage with the political systems. Therefore the religion and politics were mingled, and it was a powerhouse in those respective countries. And many places it was a paganism that was ruling. And thereby when these disciples was taking the gospel to those countries, and those people had a major hatred, I explained to you when we were doing the church ages. And then he said, then shall many be offended and shall hate one another. You remember during this time also we find the tares, wheat and tares coming into play. And many shall betray one another. And also the false prophets. We also saw the false teachers coming to mislead the true children of God, taking place in the first and the second. And because of the iniquity bound, the love of many shall wax cold. You see, the pressure of persecution was strong upon some, and some people gave up because the persecution and the pressure to become a child of God. And that's what he says, he shall endure unto the end, shall same shall be saved. So this particular scripture from 24:9-13 refers to the first age and the second age, and particularly to the Jewish disciples of the Lord. And then he says, verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, then shall the end come. You know, a lot of people want to save the world, saying, you know, we must preach to this lost world. But this verse says very clearly, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached all over the world for a witness. For a witness. That means there will be people who will not receive the gospel. There will be people who would not be saved even the gospel is preached. Because the gospel would be preached in the world for a witness. Verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of the desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Now what is this desolation? Abomination of the desolation spoken by Daniel. Daniel prophesied and says, the temple would be desolated. And that's what happened when Titus, during that time when the Roman forces came around to capture Jerusalem. The Titus told not to destroy the temple. The message came to the Roman commanders not to do anything to the temple, because generally the Romans, they like this arts and sculpture. They don't want to do any harm to any nice things that have been erected. So the emperor told not to destroy the temple. But they came and desolated the place. And one of the soldiers took fire and burned some things, and the whole temple engulfed in fire thereafter and was raised. And that is why when he said, when they see the abomination, now whom Jesus is talking about to the disciples, when you see this, when you see the temple is going to be destroyed, when you see the Roman soldiers stepping into that holy place, that place would be desolated by. And then he says, verse 16, let them which is in Judea flee unto mountains. Now he is telling the disciples, let them, if you are in Judea, flee away from Judea. Let him which is on the housetop do not come down to take anything. In other words, he is telling the Jewish Christians to vanish when they see this happens. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. In other words, he is telling the Jewish Christians, the apostles, when you see these things happening, immediately flee the place. And that's exactly what they did. All the first age Christians, the apostles, who heard the Lord Jesus Christ telling them, none of them were affected by the tribulation. None of them. All escaped. Where did they escape to? The history says, Jewish history says, they escaped to Saudi Arabia. At that time, it was not a Muslim country. Saudi Arabia was not a Muslim country. Many Jews lived in that country. You know, do you know that plenty of Jews lived in Saudi Arabia? More than the Islamic, the Muslims there. More Jewish was there in Saudi Arabia. One time. Like many Jews live in America, they were lived there. So most of these disciples, Jewish disciples, they left Israel and went to Saudi Arabia. And then, you know, remember this, I told you about this, verse 19. Woe unto them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days. You know, Jesus said this, you remember Jesus told those women, when he was taken in the procession to be crucified, when these women were crying, he said, don't cry for me, cry for you and for your children. And the prophecy was that the women ate, they cooked their children and ate. That's what happened when the Jerusalem was surrounded. And when this besiege was there for a long period, they didn't have food. They burned their children, they cooked their children that they eat. And that is why I say, woe unto them that are with child, and then they will give sucking in those days. That fulfilled. So this also is also referring to the period in the first age. And then here he says 24:20, pray that your flight will not be in winter, neither on Sabbath day. Now a lot of Christians use this verse as a rapture. This is nothing to do with rapture. This is nothing to do with end time. This is something which related to the escape which the Jewish Christians had to escape the tribulation, escape the attack of the Roman army. And that's why they pray that your flight is not winter. You know, if you have winter, it will be difficult for people to run away or move away. And in Sabbath also, you know, in Sabbath, Jewish law is this thing, if they see somebody carrying anything, you know, they will immediately report, like, you know. So you know, that is the very reason Jesus said, Then verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world this time. So therefore there was a great tribulation that resulted in at that time. This tribulation is the tribulation that took place in the first age. It is not referring to the tribulation which will be there for the end time. And it says verse 20, and except those days should be shortened, there should not no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now who are the elect here? It is referring to the Jewish Christians of the first age. Who are the elect of that day? It is not referring to the Christians in our day or in the rest of the period. But it is referring to the Christians on the first age. They were the elect. And elect, the elect say, those days were shortened. Finally, it took long time for the Jewish Roman armies to surround the walled Jerusalem city. And so much so, it lasted a period of time until the food that was there in the city totally over. But for the elect's sake, because there need to be a time enough for them to leave, and time enough for them to be understand this. And that's why the Lord says, those days shall be shortened. Then 23, if any man say unto you, now Jesus move here, it refers to the first stage, and then verse 23, if any man shall say unto you, lo, he is here, he see Christ, or there, believe it not. Even in the third age, fourth age, fifth age, and even the sixth age, there were many people who were telling about the coming of the Lord and saying this, that, and everything. But Jesus said, if any man shall say unto you, lo, he is here, he is there, believe it not. Verse 24, there shall arise a false Christ, false prophet, and show great signs and wonders, inasmuch if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Before, behold, I have told you before. Now this happens in every age, brothers and sisters. From the time of Jesus rose from the dead, from the time of first church age, and every time these things have been happening, in every age, there are many people who try to deceive the elect. Because you find the wheat and tares. But do you know, the elect will never be deceived. Do you know that? Because the Bible says here, Jesus, if it is possible, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. It is not possible to deceive the elect. Elect are elect because God has chosen them. They have been pre-warned. You remember, none of the Jewish apostles or Christians faced the persecution because they heed to the word of God. They listened to Him. Listened to His instruction, they escaped. In the same way, because He said, for the elect's sake, He shortened the days. So here, you can see the impact of the deception that will take place in our time. The impact is so much so, Jesus says, if it is possible, if it were possible, they will try to deceive the very elect. And I know there are many Christians, brothers and sisters, many Christians who have gone into deception. Many Christians who are very ardent followers of the Lord, and they have been deceived. That's why Jesus said, behold, I have told you before. Remember the word He says, I have told you before, so that when it comes, make sure that you don't get caught to it. That is exactly how the Lord is telling us in this small fellowship here. The many truths God has been sharing with us. Many things that have been hidden to so many other people, the Lord has been revealing to us. Because God is preparing us so that when the deceivers come, that we will never get caught to these deceptions. Verse 26. Therefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. You know, brothers, even this time, there are people, Christians, are believing. Some people are going to Jerusalem. You know, there are many people going to Jerusalem thinking that the Lord is going to come there. I know some people in some countries, they have sold their goods, their properties, taken their children from school, and they have gone to Jerusalem. They are waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people have gone to some other places. Some people have gone to some different other places. And that's why he said, therefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chamber, believe it not. And that's why we see so many people telling this and says, come, the Lord is here, Lord is with us. Verse 27. But as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall but the coming of the Son of Man be. He says, as a lightning coming out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. In other words, brothers and sisters, is a universal event. It will start from one, particularly from the east, and then it will go toward the west. It is turning from the east and shineth unto the, say, as a lightning. When you know when it is lightning, you see it. It cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And I think one of the reasons that the Lord is doing today is, particularly in the countries of East. You remember today, one time the most powerful nations are in the West. Most powerful nations. But today it has shifted to the East. It's so much so, the American companies appointing people from the East as their CEOs. The PepsiCo, the CEO is a woman from India. Citibank, the world largest banking group, the world largest bank in the world, the Citibank, has an Indian called Vikram Pandit as their CEO. And in the same time, there are many people in Americans headed by Chinese. You can see this happening now. Indians and Chinese and various other Asians are running some of the Western based big businesses. So much so that all the major conferences in the world, you know, all the major conferences in the world are either held in China or in India or in Vietnam or in Singapore or in Jakarta, in countries like that. You take the Newspeak or Fortunes, they advertise so many global forums. All have shipped toward the East. And so much so, the Lord has created the awakening in the countries of the East. God has raised His people, and the message is going from the east to the west now. And that is one of the reasons even I thank God that God has permitted that the messages that are preached here to go to the website. And I know there are many people in the west have the opportunity of listening to a voice that comes from the east. And I'm sure the Lord is raising many people in Asia, with the message to awaken the bride of Christ in Asia. Because when the Lord comes back, He comes first with the bride that is gathered from that. Because like the order of God, the sun rises from the east. So it says, as lightning cometh out of the east, shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Can you see the Lord's fulfillment? Have you ever seen an era the east has become so important than this era? Have you seen that? Never. It was all the time west, west, west. But all the global leaders are going to the east because they know there is power in that. All the major companies in America setting up their plants over India and in China. And all the key products are manufactured in those places now, which supplies to the west. So this is, you can see, this also very clear indication that the Lord is beginning to work things for His church in those places, awakening the bride, raising the people in those areas. Now verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now this particular tribulation, now in the Matthew 24, talks about two tribulations. First tribulation, which took place in the first stage, around AD 70-80, the tribulation. That tribulation did not have the sun being darkened, moon not giving light. It was never. During that period, nobody experienced the sun being darkened, moon not giving light, and the stars of heaven falling at that time. But it talks about this particular tribulation that is going to come upon the face of the earth in time. It says the sun is going to be darkened, and the moon shall not give light, and the stars shall fall, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. The powers of heaven shall be shaken. And I'm sure, brothers and sisters, we are in the threshold of the beginning of these things. Because on my first few slides, which we presented to you, the present condition in this planet Earth, this world, which has become a bad by the day, now waiting for the major shake-up that is going to take place on this world. We are coming to that condition where the Lord is going to, you know, Lord once shook in the time of Noah. I am coming to that. He shook the heavens and it fell on the planet Earth, and the flood covers the whole planet Earth. It happened in the days of Noah, and it is going to happen again. When the Lord is going to see, this world has to be washed again. This world had to be renewed again, because it has come to a status of unbearable smell to the Lord. And verse 30 says, and there shall appear the sign. You see, brothers and sisters, when the scripture is read, you need to read properly. He said, there shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Not the Son of Man, the sign of the Son of Man. There shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall the tribes of the earth mourn, and shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds with power and great glory. Two things here. It talks about there shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven first. Then shall the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds. Same thing, brothers and sisters. When Jesus came, He sent the prophet Elijah to prepare the way, turn the hearts of the fathers to become children. And even we had, in the same way, a prophet sent to us, turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, in the mid-50s. And in the same time, you remember when Jesus came, there was a sign of the star that appeared in the east. Remember? The star appeared in the east again, not in the west. And the wise from the east saw the star, the sign of God. And what did they say? They saw. We saw the sign, we saw the star, and we came to worship Him. So what happens here, the sign of the Son of Man will be heaven first. And that is going to take place very soon. And He says, He shall send His angels with great trumpet, sound of trumpet, and they shall gather His elect from four winds, from one end of a heaven to other. Before this great tribulation comes, brothers and sisters, there is going to be a gathering of the elect of God who would go through the tribulation. The angels, angels are messengers. God's angels are God's messengers. When the trumpet sound, the sound of trumpet, and that's exactly the messengers would bring the elect, gather the elect together, gather the elect together. And you remember when we completed that study of the five parts of the body of Christ, and we explained this very, very clearly, what it means by the body. And they would gather these people, these angels, which is the messengers, God ordained. You see, God has ordained, angel also means messenger. So God has sent messengers, and when the sound, final sound of the trumpet take place, and He will gather them from the planet earth who belongs to Him. And then He says, now learn the parable of the fig tree. Verse 32. When his branches is yet tender and putteth forth his leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. Likewise, when ye shall see all things that are near, even at doors. Now, you know, He says, now learn the parable of the fig tree. Now, what it is? The parable of the fig tree means, fig tree is in the language of God, the fig tree represents His people, the nation of Israel. And He says, learn this parable about the fig tree. And He says, when his branches is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. Brothers and sisters, for 2000 years, the Jewish people were scattered all over the world. They were all over the world scattered for 2000 years. Until in the year 1948. In the year 1948, God brought Jews from all over the world. All over the world, He brought them to this land. From the east, from the west, from all over the world, the Jews start coming here. And in the 1948, the nation of Israel was born. It was a very small nation. They did not have a proper army, proper navy, proper air force. And the majority of this land was occupied by Palestinians all over. Majority of them were all occupied by the Palestinians. And in the 1948, God made it possible this nation of Israel to be in the map of the world back. And it says here, when its branches are tender, you see two things happen. To the Jewish people, there are three important things. First is, the land. There are three important things, lands. Because God promised the land, which is called the promised land. So, the land is important. And in the 1948, God gave them the land. When all the Jews were able to come to a place called their own country. And then, though they got the country, there were a lot of people who are not Jewish people or Gentiles living in this country. And they were weak. They did not have much support. They did not have a proper army, navy or air force. But in the 1967, another thing happened, because their city, which is Jerusalem, was divided into four parts. Jordan owned part, east part of it. The west part was also belonged to, one third was belonged to some Jews, one to Palestinians, and one to the Catholic. So what happens here, in the 1967, when all the big Arab nations got together to attack this nation, new rebuilt nation, and the power of God came upon that nation, and God gave the victory in 6 days. In 6 days, the war was over, and they destroyed countries like Syria, Egypt, Jordan, and all the countries surrendered. And what happened was, they gained land, all the land that belonged to them. They got even the full Jerusalem, which was partly owned by Jordan, now they got the city. In 1967, the entire city came under the Jewish governance and authority. 1967. And ever since, in the Jewish constitution says, Jerusalem is eternal capital of Israel. That's what it says. And they shifted all of their government officers from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And they say, eternal capital of the state of Israel. So they got the city. They got the city in 1967. So brothers and sisters, what we happen is here is, when his branch is yet and tender, putteth forth his leaf, ye know that summer is nigh. The time is right. What is summer? It's an interesting question. So what happens is, now the third thing for Jews is their temple. But the temple is still not gained by them. One of these days, according to the scriptures, there is going to be a miracle war that is going to take place in the Middle East. Right now there is so much of tension there right now again. You know, brothers and sisters, have you ever noticed in the last 10 years most of the global leaders, do you know where they have gone most? Most of the global leaders, the city that they have traveled to most, you know where?
Jerusalem.
How many times Condoleezza Rice goes there? How many times? The most powerful person in the world, representing America, how many times she has gone to Jerusalem? Can you count? It's like we are going to office. How many times so many pronounced leaders in the world go there? Is this something what the Lord said? When you see, and he says very interestingly, so likewise when you shall see all things, know that it is near, even at the door. Brothers and sisters, he says when you see this, even at the doors, how close that we are to it. And he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all things are fulfilled. What generation? The generation of people when this generation that was there in the Israel, when the nation was established, when the nation was budded like a tree, referring to that group of people. That generation that was there in Israel as young people, that commence the people who were born in 1948. That generation who were born in 1948, now they must be in their 60s. That generation. The generation of people who were born in the year 1948, Jews. And today is 2008. Exactly 60 years, isn't it? 60 years. So they, most of those Jews are in their 60s. Most of the Jews are on their 60s. And the Bible says this generation shall not pass till all things are fulfilled. Brothers and sisters, this generation was able to see in 1967 that Jerusalem city was gained. And this same generation is going to see the temple is built. The generation that is born on this, who are now in their 60s, and they are going to see everything fulfilled. And he says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but not my word shall pass away. Remember this forcefully Jesus is telling. Now you can see, brothers and sisters, something very interesting here. This 48th generation was how many years old? 1967. They were almost 19 years, isn't it? And they are waiting for that final things. And since then, many things have happened. Because Israel became a nuclear power. They created so many interesting weapons of war. So many things have happened since that time. But the day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Remember here something Jesus talks about. He talks about the day and the hour. He not only talks about the day, but he says, but the day and the hour He talks about the day, he talks about the hour. No man, not the angels of heaven. But you remember Paul is saying, be not be of ignorant brethren of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The times and seasons, you know, in the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he says here, verse 1, but of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need I write unto you. Verse 2, for you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Not to us. The day of the Lord will not come to you and me as a thief in the night. It will come to the rest. So the times and seasons that we have an idea. The times and the seasons you have an idea. Because God has given it to us. But the day and the hour is something which is somebody, nobody would know. But he says something very significant here. But as the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. He says here, but as the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered in the ark and knew it not until the flood came and took them all. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Now Jesus, having said, nobody knows the hour and the day, then he says, but it shall be as the days. You see, you know, we have, as children of God, need to understand the scripture when it is presented to us. He says here, nobody knows the days and the hours. You know, he says, day, hour. But then next verse he says, he refers to the days. It shall be as the days of Noah. But as the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So he is specifically identifying a day and hour, and then he is saying about the days. And that's exactly, brothers and sisters, Paul identified and said are the times and seasons. So what happened in the days of Noah? Now the days of Noah is an interesting period in the history of humankind. In that history, what happened? Let's read it. Go back to Genesis chapter 6. It says, I have taken few scriptures without reading the whole thing, that the sons of God, now here the sons of God refers to sons of God refers to here as it talks about the sons of God, and the sons of God refers to children of the Seth. There are two families. So the sons of God are referred to the children of Seth. They are the sons of God. Men refers to Cain and his people. So the sons of God, so the daughters of men, and they were fair and they took them wives of all they chose. So the sons of God means the Seth, Seth's generation, Seth's people. The Bible says they saw the daughters of men, they were fair, and they took them wives all which they choose.
Brothers and sisters, this referring to the dress also,
you know, the sons of Seth, they probably would have been people, even women would have dressed properly so that they would be able to expose their flesh too much. But, you know, Cain's people, they are like modern day worldly women who try to expose themselves, their flesh, so that their skin can be seen more of them. Their fair body can be seen. So naturally, you see, these Seth people were godly people. Adam taught them how to dress. All the revelation God gave to them, but here this looked at them and appealed. And when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. You see, a lot of people don't understand this portion of the scriptures. They say the giants were born. He said the angels came and had relationship with human beings and giants were born. That is unscriptural, because the Bible says angels will not do that. Jesus said they will not marry. Angels are not people who can come and do that relationship with human beings. What happened here is, you remember, if you read the Genesis chapter 5, you know that Cain, very genius, Cain's generation very genius. They were craftsmen. They were very powerful musicians. They were renowned people. Because every time they were so renowned, they named their buildings according to their name. You remember Cain named the buildings after their own son, because son's name was so famous name. Nimrod, who is a descendant of Cain, he also wanted to build a name for himself. So they were renowned, and because they were renowned means they were known. Their name was known. Renowned means is that their name was known all over. They were very smart, very scientists, all this were, they are in the Cain's people. So what happens is, when these people and deep people came together, the Bible says the men were, that bought was a renown in character. They were trying to more lift themselves than God. You remember when such people were called the name of the Lord, whatever they did, they put the name of the Lord. Cain's people put their own names. That's what the Bible says. So God saw the wickedness of man was great on earth, and every imagination, remember, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. The wickedness of man was so great, imagination, remember brothers and sisters, today what happened to the society? Their imagination. All the problems are with the imagination of the thoughts. They imagine all the wicked things, crooked things, evil things. Nothing good they imagine. See the thoughts in the minds of the people. Their thoughts are so corrupt thoughts. Corrupt things they come up with. They come up with the corrupt desires, corrupt activities. Corruption is the thought. They are thinking, when they go to bed, they think, how I am going to make money? How I am going to do this? How I am going to, you know, the lies, the thoughts. So at that day it was like that. Brothers and sisters, don't you see that today? Like first few slides which I presented to you, is there any difference from that? The man's imagination, where is imagination running riot? They are coming, imagination so corrupted. What you see in the papers, what you see in the television, what you hear from the radio, all action of corruption, of corrupt thoughts. whether it's music, whether it's anything, is totally the thoughts of evil imagination. Nothing good they imagine, all wicked things. And I think we have to understand that we are in that condition and status of that. And I believe, brothers and sisters, this generation that we are living in creates the condition for us to understand the days we are living in. Jesus said very clearly, brothers and sisters, as in the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Look at the terrorism today. Terrorism, I cannot believe another human being blows up herself or himself before another group of people, killing everybody. Who instruct that? A thought of some man who designed to make that happen. Blows a bridge. Put poison to what you eat. Do all kinds of things. I think we are worse than the Noah's time. Don't you think so? You look at. So brothers and sisters, this is a very clear indication of the times and seasons you and I are living in. And Jesus said, and we need to further understand this truth, what Jesus said. We need to go into details of understanding some other things. Look at the internet. It's a good thing. It's a good thing that we can use it. But look at the people misusing the internet. Misusing. The thoughts that are going in the internet. My goodness, it is... unless you are really careful, look at the children today. They have access to this. I'm feeling sorry for the children because they are corrupted with this imagination. It is coming to your doorstep, your own room, the evil thoughts. I think, brothers and sisters, this demands you and I understand this present status of this world. There are a lot more to go for this study on some aspects of things that on the scriptures. And I think the time has run out of today since we have come close to 7 o'clock. And we will continue from this point when we start from the next Sunday. But one thing is clear, brothers and sisters. Day and hour, you don't have to worry. It will take care of its time. For it. But the times of the days we are living in, like Paul says, let us not be ignorant, brother and sister. He says that. He says, let us not be ignorant here. He says very clearly. I think that's very important to you and me. For the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need I write unto you. For yourself know perfectly the day of the Lord cometh. And then he says, verse 4, but ye, brethren, ye are not in darkness that should take over as a thief. For the children of ye are the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the children of night, no more of darkness. The Lord will come as a thief in the night, not to you and me. He will come as a thief in the night to the world. Many Christians who are ignorantly worshipping Him, thinking that they are worshipping the Lord. And He would come to them as a thief in the night. Because Paul says we are in the light and we are not the children of the night. And when you are in the light, the thief can't do anything to you and me. Because thief come in the night. And we are in the light and we are children of the light, where we see very clearly what the Lord has designed for us. And I think, brothers and sisters, I want to conclude today and say worst is getting bad by the day. It is not getting better. Many people are promising a better day. Day without poverty, with good health. You know, many devices that is make you better person. No global warming, all that is in promise. But that's only a promise by a corrupted man. But the promise that God gives to us is yea and amen. And what He promised, He will fulfill. And that's why He is revealing His plan and purpose to a group of people whom He has chosen, paid by His own blood, possessed them as His inheritance and make them heirs and joint heirs with Him. Let's pray. And as we spend few moments, brothers and sisters, I want you to think about the condition of the world today. Every time you see these things happen, brother, it will arouse you to be obedient to the commandments of the Lord and follow Him in every way. Lord, we praise You, we praise You. Father, we are thankful to You, Lord, for Your goodness to us, enabling us to have these wonderful moments, Lord, to worship You in spirit and truth, Lord. Also, Father, to understand the mystery of Thy holy word. Because Your word says, when you know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And I know, Lord, in the corrupt and a crooked and a wicked world, with falsehood and corruption and lie, Lord, You have chosen us to know the truth, follow the truth, live the truth, Father. And I pray, Lord, that You minister unto us as we face another week, Father. That Your hand of protection would be upon every one of us from the crookedness and wickedness and the evil that is prevailing on this earth, Father. That You would keep us as Your children, as Your heirs, in close to You all the time. We pray in Jesus' name. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. May His presence go before you, beside you. May He keep you in the center of His divine plan and purpose and will. May He let His wonderful face shine upon you and me. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you.